This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Andy Baskett. I'm Jeff Phelps. Welcome back to the show. We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is an NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. He's a former NFL coach. He's a former NFL scout. He played quarterback at Wisconsin. In that quarterback position group, I don't like saying room, Nate, was a guy named Russell Wilson. He's Nate Tice. Hello, Nate. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Nate. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Yes, I was in the room, the group, with Russell Wilson at Wisconsin. But yeah, it's a lot of formers there. I just noticed that. I noticed that a lot of times when I get introduced on shows, it really sounds like Khaleesi from Game of Thrones, like Mother of Dragons, Breaker of Chains. It just keeps going and going and going. But no, thanks for having me so much.
Well, I'll make sure everything's updated. Currently, NFL writer for Yahoo Sports and host of the Football 301 podcast.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you can find me on Yahoo writing. A lot of words all over the place.
It's good. See, you're a busy guy. That's a really good thing. I like that.
Yeah, work is good. I know. I've learned that. It's when no one talks to you. It's like when you're a player, too. If the coaches aren't talking to you, that's not a good thing. Same with the media world. If people are asking you to talk, that must be okay.
Yeah, there you go. So tell me this. We're sitting here in Cleveland. I don't know if you know this. Browns have been looking for a quarterback since Bernie Kosar was here, and they're still looking for a quarterback. If you're the Browns and you're looking for a quarterback and the one you have is really highly paid, not able to play, and when he did play, wasn't playing very well, is this the time to have the second pick in the draft?
No. It's the short answer I'll give right there. And you hope that whatever quarterback they find next has as much, as much as Bernie has been around with the Browns organization afterwards, with the fans and everything, it's like, man, if you just become a decent quarterback in Cleveland, you can have a long career afterwards too in the area. But no, this draft class really to me is a lot like the 2019 draft class with Kyler Murray ended up being QB1 in the number one pick. There's a flawed but very good, I think, quarterback prospect at the top. And then I really do think it's just a one quarterback class that I'm comfortable taking in the first round, much more the top 10, the top 5. I view the rest of the group of guys, and I'm including Shadur Sanders, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck. I'm high on Riley Leonard, but these are all guys that I really consider more day two guys, day two dart throws. And quarterbacks always get inflated. Guys, last year, a couple guys, I think, got inflated into the first round, and I understand the contract aspects of that. But the thing is, if you take a guy in the first round, you put one, round one next to their name, you are anointing them. Even if you say you're not, you are. So that's why I get really tough when I'm saying, when I think a guy is getting looked at the top 10 or top 15. I start really picking apart their flaws, and that's just me. I can only imagine how teams are doing this with interviews and everything. So when I look at this class, this is not really the exciting class to have. You know, it wasn't like last year where I thought the top three guys were all valid top 10 guys. Even if I actually have some issues with Jaden Daniels, still thought he should be an easy top 15 pick. So that was this class. It's like Cam Ward. And then after that, it's the other positions where my eyes go as opposed to the QB2. So that is kind of just maybe not the most exciting class if you're looking for a quarterback, and especially if you're in the top five like Cleveland is right now.
All right. So I keep asking this question and trying to figure it out. Is it just bad at the top of the class? Because everyone is crushing the quarterbacks. And I've seen some pretty good play out of the quarterbacks that are coming out of college right now. But are we saying this is a bad quarterback class? And I think I'm reading into what you just said, because the upper echelon quarterbacks aren't like of normal upper echelon years. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it's not as top heavy as you usually have. I would say you usually get two guys that are justifiable first round picks, and then you start squinting and you maybe get three, you know, potentially four. That is, you know, I would say a typical class to me, a quarterback class to me, is maybe that Stroud, Bryce Young, Richardson class, where you got maybe two guys that everyone could kind of consider as locks, which was Stroud and Young. You got the dart throw, which was Anthony Richardson, and then Levis goes in round two. That, to me, is a typical quarterback class. You know, the Tua, Justin Herbert class, with Joe Burrow as well, Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love. Jalen Hurts was round two, Jordan Love was round one. To me, this is just a one quarterback class. Which, yeah, so technically, yeah, it's not that top heavy. It is a down year, I think. I would say the middling guys, the guys that I brought up as the dart throw guys, are all fine prospects. I think they're legitimate day two guys, not even guys you have to squint at to get into day two. It's just that, yeah, it's not as bad as the Pickett class, which I know you guys have talked about that name plenty of times, sure.
Yes, we have.
It's not as bad as that, because I do think Cam Ward is a prize. Like, I do think he is worthy of being the number one pick, even if I do think he has a couple flaws. But I also just think that the drop-off from him is – there's a two-tier drop-off as opposed to maybe just a one-tier drop-off or someone in the same tier. So there is a drop-off. I say those second day two guys are interesting, though. It's not just where, like, the Pickett class was like – I was high on Desmond Ridder in that class, and I was like, man, I wouldn't take him before pick 50. You know, and it was like – you know, that class was just whatever. These day two dart throws, as I keep describing them, they're more interesting, I think, than that class. So it's not a great class because it's not top heavy, but I will say that the day two guys are interesting.
Dart is an interesting name to say involving this draft. Nate Tice joins us. He's an NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, hosts the Football 301 podcast. Is there a guy who you're talking about as the dart throw in the second day who you think is close enough to Shedeur Sanders in ability that you shouldn't take Shedeur at number two if you're the Browns?
Well, yeah, and that's kind of been my argument for it. So I'll start with Shedeur real quick. Is I view him as, again, as a day two guy. He has the upside.
Really? You don't think he's a first-round pick? He'll be a first-round pick.
I don't.
But he will,
and I think that's where everyone's pointing that way, you know, reading the smoke. I don't think he should be a guy that goes before pick 20. That's just how I look at it. I think that his tools aren't what you want in top five, or top 10, or even top 20. And if you have limited tools and limited size, how are you as a processor? How are you from the pocket? Because you're going to have to win that way in the NFL. And Shedeur still needs time. I still think he needs time to work on his polish, still needs time in the pocket. His drifting backwards in the pocket, which I'm sure plenty of people have talked about, is a real issue, because that is a non-negotiable to be an NFL quarterback. You cannot get away with that unless you're an ultimate freak. Jaden Daniels can get away with it because he runs a 4.38. You know, Lamar Jackson can get away with it from time to time. He's much better at it than he used to be because he runs a 4.4. Josh Allen used to be able to do it. He doesn't do it as much anymore. Josh Allen is 240 pounds and runs a 4.6. You know, these guys are freaks. And so with Sanders, because I think his tools are more average, adequate, that I get a little worried that you drop him, hey, he's going to be a plug-and-play starter, and we're going to ask him to be a quality starter right away. I think he needs time. And that's not a guy I would take in the top 10. That's a guy I would take in round two. And so starting with Sanders, if I would get, moving off of him, other guys I consider in the same group, the same kind of bucket, the guy that I think has the most arm talent is Tyler Shuck from Louisville. But the problem with him is he's 26. So, yeah. And then, and like, but if you were talking about, if you were making the argument that he's more pro ready and you were taking him on day two, Shuck would be the guy. But again, he's 26 and he has injury history. All these guys have such blemishes that, it's so hard to overcome. The guy I'm bullish on is Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard's not a guy I would take until round three. And Leonard, to me, has a lot of tools. And again, getting back to tools, he has toughness. I think he's an excellent athlete. I think he's going to time really well if he runs a 40 this week at his pro day. I think he's a better thrower than people give him credit for. He doesn't have great arm strength. I'd say he has adequate arm strength. But I do think he has touch, and he's improved on his pocket feel and timing. He doesn't take a lot of sacks. Like, taking sacks is a big issue. And that is, I think people are coming to grips with that taking sacks is as bad as throwing a pick, you know, because they are drive killers. And so if you have a guy that takes a lot of sacks, okay, why does he do that? And that, to me, Sanders' answers to why he takes sacks, or why the reason why the process to that is worrisome to me, and I think more worrisome than others are kind of giving it credit for.
So, Nate, if you're the Browns, you're not taking a quarterback at two. I think I have that right. Would you?
You have that right.
Okay. In that case, right now you have Kenny Pickett and an injured and ineffective Deshaun Watson on your roster. Right. I've thrown out our in your former teammate Russell Wilson has now signed with the Giants. Jameis Winston has signed with the Giants. There's not a whole lot left. To me, I'm signing Carson Wentz, bringing him in with Pickett and whoever I draft, and hoping I have somebody who can help me win some games. Or doing the dance about Kirk Cousins, which doesn't sound realistic to me at this point. What would you do if you were the Browns?
I would be either one of those guys, Wentz or Cousins. I know that's the best of two bad bunches. trust me, I watched Carson Wentz in Week 18 last year with the Chiefs, and it was like, oh yeah, Carson, I remember you. You're the exact same player. It's a tough situation. I wish I had some clean answer and some cool fan fiction answer for you. But to me, looking at the Browns situation, and I know desperation is a real thing, and especially where the Browns are at. But man, just looking at the rest of the roster, like, the offensive line is going to be all gone after this year. So if you're really drafting, okay, we want a young guy, we want a guy this year, we're going to win this year, I don't know. I feel like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, as opposed to maybe, hey, we're going to have to reset this thing anyways. So let's be patient and make sure we get our guy. If, you know, of course, Barry and Stefanski have to have the kind of, you know, the timeline to do so. But I do think that it's one of those things where I'd rather wait for a guy than just say we have to take one. Because that's what leads to bad decisions. That's what leads to Brandon Whedon in the first round. That's what leads to, like, we have to take a guy in the first round. We have to. But then you get into even a worse situation, and then you're giving snaps away because you have to, because that's the guy we took at two overall. So to me, that's like, I would wait till day two and just take a flyer on somebody. And maybe in the second half of the year, you're like, okay, let's start him. Let's see if we got something here. I think that's the situation that the Browns are in, as opposed to like, hey, we drop in a rookie and we compete. So that to me is like, you need a placeholder quarterback. Is Jacoby Brissett still around?
He's gone too.
He's gone too, right?
That's the thing. They've kind of dilly-dallied here, and all these guys who might be options are no longer available. I threw out the name Case Keenum.
That's actually who Tyler Shuck reminds me of, is Case Keenum, if you want a pro comparison. Yeah. And also, I'm very interested in the Browns scouting aspect of this, because they traded for the worst of the Eagles' backup quarterbacks. Tanner McKee is a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett. And that's what was still curious to me, that they ended up trading for Pickett and assets for Pickett as well, because I don't think Pickett's a playable guy other than he run around and get you out of the game. So that was also curious to me, and I've just been waiting to go on a Cleveland show to kind of give that thought that they went maybe for the wrong backup quarterback from Philadelphia.
Thanks.
Thanks for crushing our dreams even more.
No problem, guys. but you know, it's Abdul Carter, Myles Garrett could be really cool.
Now we're talking. There we go.
That's what I kind of defer to too. Is just like, hey, trade back, or you know, you got two BPAs in Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, that I don't think you're making a wrong choice if you do stand pat and don't go quarterback. But I just think that the offensive line situation is a ticking time bomb. So that's another thing I've been keeping my eye on Cleveland, which I also think should influence some of their decisions too.
Yeah, and how strong do you, like, I was going to ask you beyond quarterback, what you think the strongest places are positionally in this draft. And, you know, you talk about O-line, but, I mean, they have a need for a tight end. They have a need for wide receivers. They have, so just kind of, if you could go into the second phase beyond quarterbacks of what you think the strongest position group is after quarterback.
D-line and edge, yeah, is the strength. Top-heavy, middle-tier guys, depth, different flavors. It's a really fun class. You know, maybe Bill Carter, I wouldn't say the elite prospect. You know, I've heard the generational tag, which should be retired anyways. I think he's more of a very good edge prospect. He doesn't play the run that well. Still has to work on some strength, but he's got stuff that you can't teach. He can bend and get after the quarterback. That gets you paid. And I think he's worthy of a top five pick. So it's not where it's one's like, yeah, he's not Miles Garrett, but he is still a very good prospect. So him and then Mykel Williams from Georgia, more interesting, toolsy guy, I think is better against the run. He's kind of like the inverse of Carter. Very, not as fast, but more explosive and stronger. And he's interesting. Mike Green from Marshall, very twitchy, a very good pass rusher as well. Shamar Stewart tested from Texas A&M, tested off the charts in Indy, which wasn't a surprise to anybody. Big recruit. I'm not as high as him as others. He's a classic traits versus production type of argument, but he's going to get drafted high as well. And those are just edges in the top 15, you know, and then there's a whole bunch of other guys after that. Defensive tackle as well. But then also, it's a good tight end class. You got Tyler Warren from Penn State and Colson Loveland from Michigan will probably go in the first round. But then there's some interesting day two guys. Mason Taylor, I really like from LSU, Jason Taylor's son. Elijah Arroyo from Miami is an interesting day two guy as well, good athlete. And then I actually like the day two receivers, and this is a loaded running back class. That is the position that this class is just juicy with. Ashton Gentry is going to be go high, but then Amarion Hampton from North Carolina is a good player that'll probably go in the first round. It really seems that way. But then you got, I mean, I have 10 players, 10 running backs with that I think should go in the top 75. I have a late second, early third, you know, that is the cap of it, but I have 10 players and then a couple more that I think are interesting. So this class, if you need a running back, which is kind of like Cleveland's like, okay, well, it's enough running backs. but I do think that this is a really loaded running back class as well. And I also think it's an interesting day two offensive lineman class, not top heavy, but I do think there's a lot of guys, late first, second round types that maybe are more interesting, good starter types, kind of tweeners. You have to figure out, get them into the right home. But there's a lot more interesting body types than maybe this offensive line class has been getting credit for.
Nate Tice joining us, writer for Yahoo Sports podcast, Football 301. So if you're the Browns and you're sitting at two, you mentioned Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Mason Graham, trade down. What would you do if you're running the Browns?
I would check with everyone. Anybody want to trade up for Shadur? New York? Hey, anybody? You know, I would be working the phones as much as possible, because you mentioned right before you even asked me that question, your co-host did, but the Browns, they have so many holes or they have so much need. Well, let's get some more picks. And I also just mentioned that it's interesting, though, because this class, there's no consensus in this class, which I think is really fun, because yeah, it's not maybe the aces of last year's class, you know, all the other positions, like true blue chippers, more very good prospects as opposed to those true elite ones. But I think that's interesting. I think you could get buyers as far as moving up in the class, because you don't know who's going to fall in love with what player. You might, you being a team, go, yeah, I think that guy shouldn't go until before pick 20. And another team might go, that's the next this guy. We're moving up to take him. You know, call the Saints. Get them to try to move up, you know, and stay in the top 10, you know, a team that can be aggressive and trying to find their guys, quote unquote. That'd be my first option. My second option would be go with Abdul Carter, as much as I really like Travis Hunter. I do view Travis Hunter as a corner. I knew Barry views him as a receiver. I view him as a corner more for size reasons and also the mental workload of, you know, playing receiver and then spotting at corner, I think is just too much. I think playing corner and spotting at receiver is a much easier mental workload for a player coming into the NFL. If they took him, I totally get that as well. But I view him as a corner because of the weight stuff. He's not over 190, and I don't want to get into the historical things because I'm saving it for an article. But there's more Thanks. Corners sub 190 or below that become Pro Bowlers and All Pros than 190 or below receivers. I think there's only been two All Pro receivers that weighed below 190 in the last 35 years. And there's been eight corners. There's only been eight receivers that have been Pro Bowl receivers that are weighed below 190. There's been 26 corners. So it's just a weight threshold thing there. But long answer, trade Abdul Carter, just because I prefer trenches, and I maybe just as a fan of the NFL, just want to envision Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter wrecking offenses for the next decade.
There you go.
Half decade at the very least. So make a strength your real strength. And maybe because I've seen what Cleveland's done with Za'Darius Smith and Okoronkwo over there, and I've seen the glimpses of what that could look like, why not get another ace in there and just become one of the most unblockable defensive lines in the NFL? That's kind of what my deferred argument has become.
Nate, great to have you with us. And if you're willing, we'd love to have you back. So thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks, Nate.
No, appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Nate Tice, NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, his podcast, Football 301. And he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.